Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 1. We began last week, and if you weren't in the, I'm going to do just a quick review in case you weren't here last Sunday morning, but we have been teaching. This is going to be a lesson on demonic possession. This is a part 2, demonic possession part 2. And we covered several stories and places in the Bible where this is mentioned. I'm restricting, for the most part, my study of Jesus Christ and his encounter with those that were demonically or possessed by devils. If you do a word search and you type in demon, it's going to say the Bible doesn't recognize that. That word doesn't exist in the Bible. In the Bible, they're always called devils, plural, devils with a small d. And so if you did that and you typed in devil or devils or spirit, you would have these same verses that I'm presenting to you. You'd have more than what I'm presenting to you because I have 3 pages of material and there's no way to cover it in the 2 Sundays we're going to teach on this. But I think it's interesting. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what? I believe I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is... Now, you know, we just act like there's charismatic verses and there's Baptist verses. There's charismatic portion of Scripture and there's bad. No, there's not. It's all for Baptists. And we ought to know this. Now, what I'm doing is this. I'm giving you a lot of information. This whole month we're talking about spiritual warfare. I'm mostly just giving you information. I want you to get to the point where you can recognize when Satan is at work. And then what we're going to do is we're going to tie it up. And let's see, it'll be next Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then also the following Wednesday night. I'm not giving you a bunch of information just so you can walk around and start being spooky. I'm giving you this information, and what we're going to do then is give you the tools to know exactly what to do when you sense an increase of demonic activity or you come across somebody that honestly is demonically influenced, oppressed, possessed, any way you want to call it. Vexed is the word the Bible uses a lot. And that's a reality. It's a reality in this culture. And I think more than you know, more than we recognize, because we don't see the symptoms. And so one of the interesting things and the main purpose of talking about demonic possession is just not so we can look at some scary stories in the Bible, but so that we can see the characteristic traits of somebody who's being demonically oppressed. Now, listen, Jesus, let me encourage your hearts. Jesus never one time had an encounter with an unclean spirit without winning, without that unclean spirit doing exactly what Christ said to do. Folks, it's not like every time there's a spiritual battle, the demons, well, we just cross our fingers that God will win this time. It's not the way it ends. The demonic spirits are completely at the mercy of the word of Jesus Christ. God with one word can rebuke a demonic spirit. Not one time will you see. And I'm giving you this because Christians, this is what the danger of teaching this type of thing is sometimes people become so aware through the Scriptures in a proper manner of the invisible world that then they want to begin to blame everything in their life on demons and devils. And I've run into people that you just can't help because it's always a demon's fault, it's always a devil's fault. No, no. As a Christian, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If a demonic presence is there and it's active, then it's because we have invited it, we have led it, and we're not doing the things we need to defeat it. And so I want to give you information, but be patient. And come the entire month, please, or get the tapes if you have to work, because I don't want you to get partial information and just, you know, I think the worst thing in the world is to make someone aware of a problem and then not give them the cure to the problem. And so, there's so much, of course, we can't do that all in one service, so we're building, and we now are in Mark chapter number 5. Let me read this story beginning in verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And it says, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. For there, now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and they choked in the sea. Can you imagine that scene? Can you imagine that scene? I can't imagine, to be honest, I've never seen anything, a herd of swine, a herd of pigs, that was anywhere close to 2,000. I've seen several hundred, but I can't even imagine 2,000. That must have been a horrific thing to watch. Verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he had come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray and ask God to help. Heavenly Father, we certainly need your help as we teach this. And Lord, we do ask for that great holy hedge, God, to be built around this place. And Lord, as we talked about Wednesday night, Satan would like to snatch the seed of God's word from the hearts of people. Satan would like to misinterpret what's being taught. I pray, dear God, that we would be filled and tuned into the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, thank you that there is a Holy Spirit. We read about an unclean spirit. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that indwells us and wants to help us, offers us protection, Lord, and teaching, and wants to tutor us in the truths of the Bible. And I pray, Lord, that we'd learn today, and Lord, so that we can be aware, so that we can be a help and a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Quickly, and I'll do this in a short fashion, let me just review what we talked about, because there's much to cover today. Matthew chapter 8, let me just review. Verse 16, you don't have to go back to these, because I'm just going to summarize them. In Matthew 8:16, we learned that many were brought to Jesus possessed with devils. Now, there's about seven specific stories that are told where Jesus frees someone who's possessed with a devil, but many were brought to Jesus possessed with devils. That teaches us there was an increased unholy, ungodly, spiritual activity going on when Jesus came the first time. I believe that that's building now. I believe you're going to see an increase in that now. I think we already are seeing that, because I believe Christ is soon to come out. In that same verse, it says that he cast out the spirits. He cast the spirits out, quote, with his word, unquote. And listen, this is what I want to give you. You know what? Jesus only has to speak. His word defeats the hordes of hell. There's no demonic presence that can stand against a spoken word by Jesus Christ. Whatever he says, they must do. Matthew chapter 12, we see that someone was brought to Jesus that was possessed with a devil. The devil caused the man to be both blind and dumb. Jesus healed him, and the Pharisees accused him of doing so by Beelzebub. Jesus refuted their accusations with logic. A kingdom divided, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Then Jesus warned them against committing the unpardonable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, by crediting the Holy Spirit's working, by crediting his working to Satan. Matthew chapter 17, we saw a father bring a lunatic son to Jesus, bring it to his disciples, and they could not heal him. Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil leaves the boy. We also saw the devil cause the boy to attempt self-harm, self-infliction of pain, threw him into the fire, threw him into the water. the devil, as he would come upon him, would cause him to try to hurt himself. Number four, the disciples could not cure him because, Jesus said, because of their unbelief. And then he explained that this kind of spiritual warfare is won through prayer and fasting. Now we're in Mark chapter number 5. We just read this story of the maniac of Gadara. And I want to point out just about a dozen things. So let's teach through this one quickly. There's two more things I want to visit. So I'm going to give you as much information as I can. And so listen quick, okay? Number one, the maniac of Gadara. This man was possessed by an unclean spirit. We'll find out that these were actually spirits, an unclean spirit. He comes out of the tombs in verse number 2 and meets Jesus as he comes into this country. So we see the encounter. Number one, Jesus encounters a man with an unclean spirit. Number two, let me give you some more information about this man. Let's watch. Let's break some of this down. Notice verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. Isn't that, by the way, everything's there for a reason. Now, why in the world? You think about this. Here's the question. Why in the world would a man who is possessed by a legion of demons choose to forsake his home, forsake his city, forsake civilizations and the comforts of civilization, and go out and of all places decide that he wants to live in a cemetery? He wants to live among the dead. Let me just point this out to you. In this day and age, we have young people all over the place that have an unhealthy infatuation with death. An unhealthy infatuation with death. A lot of this that you're seeing in the gothic groups, a lot of what you're seeing even amongst young people talking about death, talking a lot about death. There's some unbelievable thing. I remember the first time, this is back in the 80s, when I was doing bus visitation. I was visiting a home, and they were watching something on TV, and I want to say it was called Faces of Death or something like that. Is that right? And I was horrified. The entire show was just the death of either of animals or creatures of some kind. Just the whole thing was nothing but, and I mean, folks, I got to the point where I couldn't go into a home in Chicago without that silly thing being on. And listen, that, you know what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the... You know what? Someone who's Holy Spirit-filled is infatuated and consumed with life. Someone who's demonically oppressed is infatuated with death. And so, I mean this. Would you listen to me a minute? Even in your own life, you have to be sensitive to this. Let me ask you something. Do you wake up every day and you're excited about life? Or do you wake up every day or you have times where it seems like all you think about is death? When that is happening to you, then let me just say this. I'm not saying if you're saved, you can't be possessed. But I'm saying Satan is attacking. Satan is trying to oppress you. See, he'd like to get you infatuated with death instead of focused on life. And when that's happening, if you recognize it for what it is, and as we'll teach, if you'll take the steps to diffuse the situation, I'm tired of this. Just listen to me. Hear me out. I'm tired of people living in hopelessness and acting like they don't have a choice. That's a bunch of hogwash. I'm tired of Christians that go year after year after year and they can't live on the victory side. I'm not teaching you those things so that you can succumb to them. I'm teaching you so you can recognize them and begin to plead the blood of Jesus, begin to get into the Scriptures, use the sword of the Spirit, and begin to get victory back in your life. Amen? So remember that. Let me say this, number 3. It says in verse number 3, it says, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that when he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains... fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. We see a lot of times those that have dealt with this, talk to missionaries, talk to people that have dealt with demonic possessed people, that a lot of times they have superhuman strength. They're able to do things that would humanly be impossible, physically impossible. And this is a sign, again, of satanic obsession, satanic oppression. And listen to me very carefully. There's a reason that so many professional athletes walk around with those iPod things in their ear turned all the way up before they go out there onto the field of play. There's a reason that so many of them are into the drug culture. I'm just saying we ought to take a look at who we're putting up as our kids, in front of our kids as heroes. I'm not trying to put all athletes in the boat together. I know there's men that are athletes that are Christian athletes. I understand all of that. But I'm just saying, a lot of times when you see some of these guys and they have unreal numbers, and you watch and begin to figure out and look at their lives, some of them have that because they're tapping a resource that they should not be tapping. And I'm going to take a little time and talk to you about this, but this whole this connection in the Bible between drug use and Satanism is indisputable. Indisputable. We have got to be careful of the type of things and medications and things that we're just reaching for. And there are things that are mind-altering. There's things that change your character. There's things that open you up, I think, to satanic suggestions, satanic influence. Listen, have you heard this? Can I just give you this? And I'm not going to count any drug. But when they say on TV, and by the way, nobody else can buy commercials because the pharmacy companies have bought all the commercial spots up. I mean, all you do is watch a show and then have 3 minutes of drug commercials. And did you hear this? If you experience a sudden urge to kill yourself, a sudden urge to gamble, a sudden urge to... And I'm listening to that thinking, hello? I'm just saying, we got to be careful. I think this society is being more controlled by the drug companies. I'm talking about your will. I'm talking about your spirit. I'm talking about the devil using them. Now again, I'm not talking about somebody here that's got a legitimate medical problem. Thank God there's a drug that's been developed by good people and it's helpful to you. I'm just saying, folks, listen to me. This whole idea of just keep pumping everything in the world in us just because, I think I'd start asking some questions. And you ought to do this. Listen, folks, you ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about even when you're dealing with your doctor. You ought to ask the right questions. You ought to look at something, some stuff. Because I think we just need to... All I can do is just give that to you, all right? I feel like I'm walking a tightrope here. I'm not condemning the medical profession. Thank God there's some medicines been developed that have prolonged people in this room's life. And thank God for it. But I'm just saying, be careful. We've got to get off this mentality that every time that we don't feel a little bit down or we don't feel exactly right, we go run into a medicine cabinet. I think it's wrong. All right, enough of that. I left preaching and went to meddling there for a minute, amen. Notice here also, folks, verse 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains. Night and day is in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself. Notice this, a physical unrest. This man had no peace. This man couldn't rest. He was up and down and up and down and just never got a decent, just up and down and torment and unrest. You know, God's a God of peace. We're going to see this in another story. Well, I don't know if we'll get to that one or not. But God brings peace. God brings peace. Satan brings unrest. God brings peace. And so another evidence of satanic activity is that there is a physical unrest, a mental unrest, a spiritual unrest, all right? Number 5, I think I mentioned this the other day, but notice it says that he was crying and cutting himself with stones. And self-mutilation, folks, that's an epidemic proportion amongst our teenagers today. Now, I mean, listen. You'd be shocked how many kids I'm talking about from junior high on up, the brother my parents talk to right now, you'd be surprised how many of them sitting right out there in that room have been involved in self-mutilation. You'd be surprised how many of them come from Christian families have been involved in it. Now, Brother Jerry, if I see this, well, you better understand, you're in a spiritual battle right there. Spiritual warfare. What is it that's driving the young people and making them obsessed with poking things through their body? Sticking things through their face, through their eyes, through their ears. Like, girls, I'm going to talk to you about this in a few minutes. We're going to get to meddling again. I see a girl, two things. I see a young lady. Let's just say, let me just see if we can get to this. In Luke chapter number 8, this same story, I'm not going to have you take you there, says, and he wear no clothes. And when he was healed, the Bible says he was found sitting. That's the peace of God. He was restless, but now he's sitting, he's relaxing, clothed, and in his right mind. Which means for the first time in a long time, he could actually think clearly. Now listen to me. I'm telling you it's true. I can tell. Listen, if you got a young lady, and parents, and she's fussing with you because she doesn't want to dress right, she wants to show too much, and she's mad because you won't let her pierce her ear 4 or 5 times, and she wants to fight for the right to do those things. That is not. Excuse me. You have a different Bible than I do. That is not the Holy Spirit of God. That is not the lifestyle of a Holy Spirit-filled young lady. That's the reaction of a young lady that is has opened some doors. Hello. Has opened some doors and allowed satanic influence in her life. And Satan is driving those thoughts. Satan is driving that direction. Now, there's nobody in the world. You get upset with me if you want to get upset with me. And you know what? It's time to say this, because tomorrow it's going to be 76 and the next day it's going to be 78. But when the temperatures go up, spirit-filled people do not take the clothes off. And if there's a drive in you, and I mean, you know, I'm talking about some of you that right now your faces are all screwed up and you're... You know what? Why don't you just ask God for deliverance from that demonic oppression in your life? Why would it upset a Christian? Why would it upset a Christian, a Holy Spirit-filled Christian, to hear preaching on modesty? Why would it? It doesn't. It doesn't bother anybody that's filled with the Spirit. And somewhere you've opened the door. And you need to shut that door. And you begin to see it in young people. You know, say what you want to. But a young person that begins this thing, wants to battle mom and dad, and wants to start fussing and fighting, she wants her neckline lower, she wants her skirt shorter, she wants her clothes tighter, and she wants to fuss about the option. That is not coming from the Holy Spirit of God. There's something. Now listen, parents, what we do is we want to wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not careful. What we do is we want to get in a pitched battle against our child. And what we've got to understand is they need to understand. You know, he didn't have to understand, he was of an excellent spirit. They need to understand what's going on. We need to do battle with the devil and the demonic influences, find the doors, help them get them shut so that the Holy Spirit can rule and reign in their lives once again. I see a girl like that, I don't get mad at them. I see a girl like that comes in here. I'm sorry, you can say what you want to, and you can say, well, you're not much preacher. Well, I think you don't know much Bible. But my job's not to get up here and blast some kid that walks in here and is struggling. My job as a preacher is to help them to understand what the devil's doing in their life and to help them free them from that. You know, you're not going to help them through humiliation. Ah, that's good, preacher. Amen. Stop trying to fundamentalist Baptist preachers. Stop getting a pulpit and using the pulpit as a tool to hurt people that are already under satanic attack. You know, that's what's happening. It's what's happening. And so, you know, the inner circle, the support team in that young person's life needs to get on the same page and gather around and begin to pray and start fighting a spiritual battle for that young person's life. And so there we are. I hope that helps. Now, I love this. Look, in, if you will, then, please, what happens in verse 6. But, that word there is there because he's just listed all these horrific things that nobody could do with him and no help could be found, and all of a sudden, but, when he saw Jesus, here it is, afar off. Man alive, hallelujah. What's the help that these young people need? They need Jesus. Notice this, he ran and worshipped him. He ran and worshipped him. You know why? Because here's what I honestly believe. You can say what you want, but I don't believe there's a person there that's demonically oppressed, that doesn't down deep in their soul, what's left of what's them in that they have control of, doesn't want to be free. They want help. The greatest advantage I have, as a preacher in trying to help a young person is this. Down deep, and it may be deep, but down deep, they really want help. No, that one too. Yeah, but I know what they're saying, but that doesn't mean they don't want help. Now, I can prove this. How many of you would say, Brother Jerry, there was a portion of time in my life, where I'm going to tell you what, my life was out of control. I look back at it now, and the demons of hell had great influence in my life. And I was telling everybody I was having a great time, and telling everybody I was wanting to be that way, and snarled at everybody that dared think that I wasn't right or tried to help me. But, down deep, I wanted help. Amen. I'm not talking about you running around, you know, shooting people. I'm just saying, I'm talking about Christians getting in backslidden condition. I'm talking about before you were saved. I'm just saying that everyone we deal with, I hope you're helping listen to me here. Because I'm giving you something, and if you'll get this, I got this crazy idea. I got the crazy idea that we at Blessed Hope Baptist Church have the means to help any kid that walks through that back door. I don't care what kind of a mess their life is. Any adult that walks through that back door, I don't care what kind of mess their life is. I believe with all my heart we have the ability to help them through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe something else. They want it. They may snarl and fight and fuss and spit and sass. And I guarantee you there's 2 o'clock in the mornings where they're looking awake, staring at the ceiling, weeping their eyes out. And sooner or later, they're going to get to a place. Listen to me, church. They're going to get a place in their life. Even if they won't let us help them when we try to help them, sooner or later, they're going to get to a place where they're going to say, I want to help. And I want them to think, Pastor Jerry. I want them to think Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want them to think the bus captain's name. I want them to think a bus worker's name. I want them to think a Sunday school teacher's name. I want them to think Brother Reiser, Sister Alyssa. I want somebody from this church be the first face that pops into their mind when they think, I am ready to get some help. And not everybody we try to help, it seems like we win. But I promise you, everyone we try to help is well worth the effort. Because everything that we did, I don't believe is going to come back void. I believe there'll come a time, and we've seen it here at this church how many times, where they say, I got to get some help. And I know somebody that loves me. And I know some place that tried to help me. And I wouldn't let them. But I'll bet if I go back, they'd try again. So remember that, church, because listen, this war is not always won with one battle. Amen. I wish I had the power of Christ. But thank God I do have His presence. Amen. All right, let's hurry on. With that clock, I'm just going to have to shoot that thing. I think next Sunday I'm going to bring a gun and just shoot it halfway through class here. I don't know what happened. See, it's fine. It's okay. And it's slow till it gets to the 12th. Then I think it's because it's going downhill. It just kind of poof, falls over, you know, something. I look up and it's 10, and I look up and it's a quarter after. Here we go. All right. Now, let me give you some things. Jesus commanded the Spirit to come out. The Spirit knew Jesus. He fell down and worshipped him. The Spirit knew Jesus and feared he would send him to torments before his time. There were many spirits in this man. We see some instances in the Gospels where a man is possessed by a devil. Other times, there's more than one. In this case, there was an entire group. This man was heavenly influenced. I'm going to throw this out. I don't know. I'm going to throw this out. I don't know if this is true. Maybe that at one time this man was demonically possessed by a devil. Maybe God gave him deliverance. But he wouldn't turn to Christ. And so he came back bringing, how many does the Bible say? Be careful. You know, here's the thing. Sometimes people come and they want help. I've seen them come here and want help. And I mean, demonic influence in their life. I could name names if I was cruel enough right now. People that have walked in the back door of this church and for a period of time, devil ruled and reigned in their life for a period of time. They got help through Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But you know what? They wanted to sweep and they wanted to garnish, but they didn't want to surrender fully to the influence and power of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. They just wanted to clean things up enough to get passable. And then you know what? That demon wandered in dry places and came back with many and repossessed them, and their lives are worse now than when they walked to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, and that's Bible. We may or may not get to that. Okay, so there it is. Now, unclean spirits. Then the unclean spirits pled to be sent into a herd of swine. And interesting. In that story, and I keep references it, so maybe we'll finish with that story. I was going to go somewhere else, but maybe we'll finish with that story. In that story of the man that was the warning that Jesus gave about being delivered from a devil or a satanic oppression or a spirit, and then sweeping and garnishing it, it says that that unclean spirit walked about in dry places in unrest. Now, one of the things you notice here is that no unclean spirit is happy. They're miserable if they're not making someone miserable. Their worst case in their mind is to be cast out to a place where they can't have demonic influence. So here they chose, rather than to be sent into torments, it says, by the way, in one of the other, I think in Luke, it says that they feared he would cast, here's the phrase, cast them out into the deep. Now, I don't know if that meant the ocean, or I don't mean those, I think it meant the pit. Because there's a bunch of them that are chained down there now, reserved for the tribulation period, and they're going to be unleashed. You think there's demonic presence here now? Woo! You want to make sure that when the trumpet sounds, you go up. Because the Holy Spirit of God is possessing Christians, and when we go, He goes. And honestly, the remember the angel that had the key to the bottomless pit? He unlocks it, and guess what comes out? All of those have been reserved in chains of darkness. All of those demons that haven't been allowed to have influence because the Holy Spirit was here. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? I don't want to imagine it. Unbelievable. And no Holy Spirit of God to restrain them. Boy, you talk about a crazy time. Now, they went. They wanted to go into this herd of swine. 2,000. Is that what it said? 2,000? So what happened to them when they entered into these animals? When they entered into these animals, the Bible says, verse 13, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and were choked in the sea. And this is a perfect... I want you to get this. You say, Brother Jerry, why didn't that man run down and was choked in the sea? Because even in his condition, those spirits could only do to that man what God allowed for those spirits to do. And God would not allow them to take his life. You know why? Because Jesus was coming. I watch young people get in such a state, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I shake my head and say, I'm surprised they're still alive. Well, why are they? Because I think, I trust, I have confidence in the grace of Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you something, somewhere down the road, Jesus is going to come by. And maybe it'll be at a time where they're finally to the place where they can get some help. And so pray for that, folks. Pray for that. Don't ever wish for God's judgment in somebody else's life. Every time I get to thinking, well, I don't know if I'd put up with that. Maybe God ought to just give me, God wants to say, hey, let's review your life. Knucklehead, let's review your life. There were a few times I wouldn't have been justified in popping off your head. Forgive me, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Okay, so remember that. So we see this when they entered into it and they were not restricted. You know, they were allowed to do with those swine whatever they wanted to do. When they came into those swine, they immediately ran down. I want to give this to you. If Satan was allowed to do what he wanted to do with each of us, he'd kill us in a heartbeat. If Satan was allowed to have full reign on a lost person's life with no restrictions, Even somebody who is obsessed or possessed, oppressed or possessed by devils, they still can only do and work in the parameters that God allows. And I believe that there's always hope, and there's hope that they'll get help. And folks, listen to me. There are people that are proof of that. You don't know the history of everybody sitting around you at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's stretches of time and stretches of their life when they were absolutely out of control, controlled by, say, every one of these characteristics was true of their life. But you know what? They sit here today, sitting, clothed, and in their right mind. You know why? Because God came in. Because Jesus came by. Because they fell down and worshipped Him and said, I need help. And you know what? Jesus just said a word, and those demons had to flee. And this is what I want to leave you with here. I love this. Once delivered, this maniac became a vocal witness for Jesus Christ. And one of the things that's been so exciting in my life is not to just see God help deliver people from ungodly demonic lifestyles, but to watch those people sometimes come the greatest spokesmen, the greatest voices, the most powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ. If God has delivered you from satanic oppression, if God has delivered you from a hellish life, then you know what? You ought to, everywhere you go, you ought to talk about Jesus. Everywhere you go, you ought to credit people. Well, I'm not saying you have to glorify your sin. I'm not saying you have to tell every detail of your wicked past. But you ought to say, you know what? Once I was blind, but now I can see. Amen. Once I was controlled by the devil, and now I'm controlled by God. And once I was filthy, and now I'm clean because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's been a difference because Jesus came by. Amen. And those people become some of the greatest witnesses and greatest testimonies that there is. Now, let me just see if I can quickly. Okay, let's go in the last 2 minutes. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to read this so that it's familiar with you. I've referenced it a couple times. Luke chapter number 14. No, that's not right. That's pretty good because I wrote the verses and I didn't write the... anybody... Wait. I found it. Well, thank you. I heard that. Amen. Luke chapter 11. Thank you. Verse 24. Wow. What did I type here? Luke chapter 11. Must have been a demon got me about that time. Luke chapter 11. Verse 24. Notice this. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return into the house whence I came. And when he cometh, he findeth swept and garnished. That's the picture of somebody that turns over a new leaf. That, you know what, is left alone for a while by a demonic presence. So they clean up their life. They change a few habits. They're having a pretty good stretch. But the problem is, they left the house empty. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last day of that man is worse than the first. And so that's what I want to kind of leave you. And you meditate on, think about that. Folks, it's one thing for God to come into somebody's life and deliver them from oppression of an unclean spirit. But man, at that point in time, if you've got clarity of mind and understanding the gospel, you better get saved. Because you think, well, good, I got enough religion, and that's all it is, religion, to get me freed up for a while. But long term, that's not going to play out. And I think we see it here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think we see people that come in, there's enough of God in this place to scare the demons off a ways from them and give them a chance to get saved. But you know what? They sit there and they're satisfied with just being left alone for a while, but they don't really repent and turn to God and ask to be saved and pursue a spirit-filled life. The next thing you know, you look around and where'd they go? And man alive, you hear what they're doing. So what happened? Well, they swept and garnished, but they didn't get saved. Listen, turning over a new leaf doesn't make you a new creature. It just makes you a cleaned-up old creature. And the devil then has increased influence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to have, and pray for the service that will come. Be with Brother Hightower, filling with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.